Did you miss Canty and Carlin?
That is 35 years young. I'm going to say young. That's exactly what it is. A little Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC. Peter Burns, Drew Carter here in Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. Show's always presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't know if you know this, people, but the Jets were not good last night. Not good at all. 19-3. Dynamite drop in, Drew. Because really, there's no other way to put it, right? And I flipped it because at the beginning of Canty and Carlin today, I said, listen, Zach Wilson, he's going to get a bunch of this hatred. We're going to talk about Robert Saleh, what direction they go, and we're going to get your phone calls in, 888-SAY-ESPN. We're going to allow you to sound off. But before we do that, I think we're so quick in sports talk radio and social media to find the negative and highlight the negative, when really the positive out of last night is that the NFL inherited another dude last night. We've got dudes in Joe Burrow. We've got dudes in even Tua at certain points. Of course, with Patrick Mahomes and the amount of success he's had. My gosh, Josh Allen. I mean, that is a dude's dude right there. And we were wondering when we were going to get that with Trevor Lawrence. There was a whole hell of a lot of pressure on Trevor Lawrence last night. This was on the road. This was in the conditions. It's with had to win to keep the playoff hunt alive. And guess what? You did enough. It wasn't this all-world type unbelievable performance that we've seen break out, Drew, but this is the foundation that you build upon and get the trust that a Zach Wilson doesn't seem to have had in that locker room with the Jets lately.
Right, and Trevor Lawrence, despite struggling last year, to say the least, with the Jags, kept the locker room, right? I mean, he's obviously the alpha male in that locker room, which is something that Zach Wilson is not and probably has not been in the Jets locker room, despite buying his entire offensive line scooters or mopeds or whatever, bikes, this week, I think. Didn't seem to work out a whole lot. They were not protecting for him last night, and he was not successful.
But on the flip side of it, again, you see it. The way that the Jags have come together, and it's been about, I want to say, week 8 or week 9, okay, 70% of his passes, 14 touchdowns, one interception. He's playing as good a football as any, but it's not just a product of Trevor Lawrence. It's not just a product of Doug Peterson. It's a matter of this front office going out there and saying, you know what? I'm going to do what the Packers didn't do for Aaron Rodgers, what the Ravens didn't do for Lamar Jackson, which is I'm going to invest in the position that's going to make a great become a great. And that was Evan Ingram, right? That was Zay Jones. That was Christian Kirk. And it takes different styles of teams, but the fact that they said, Trevor, you're the guy, now let's invest money in the position that's going to help you shine, they were doing it, and that's the reason why, frankly, I think they win the AFC South. And again, that's mostly because I don't believe in the Tennessee Titans right now. But on the flip side of it, Drew, okay, before we get into those phone calls, Zach Wilson ever taken another snap for the Jets?
For the Jets? I find that hard to believe. I mean, I think we might see him in street clothes for the rest of the season. We'll see when Mike White can come back. Who knows? I mean, they went with Chris Streveler last night. Chris Streveler. Al Michaels didn't even know how to pronounce the guy's name. Al Michaels is one of the best of all time. No one expected Chris Streveler to come in the game. This is a guy who came in from the CFL. He's a Grey Cup champion. And you've got a CFL. The guy was a CFL backup, by the way, the year they won the championship for most of the season. I did my Wikipedia Chris Streveler research before the show, clearly. They go with Chris Streveler. You get the old Bronx cheer in East Rutherford, New Jersey. When Streveler comes in, he completes like a 4-yard pass.
Right.
Just compare Chris Streveler, a 27-year-old journeyman who's been cut from a couple NFL teams, to the number 2 pick last year, Peter. We're not talking about like year 4. They're trying to decide if they want to pick up the player option on or the team option on him or not for the 5th-year quarterback. No, sir. 2 years, and it feels like we already know exactly who Zach Wilson is. And you and I are both college football fans, man. Like, we all knew that Justin Fields was the right pick there, right? Like, this is not a 2020 hindsight type of thing. And now look at Justin Fields in Chicago.
Well, and I think that's how the game has also changed as well, too. I think some of the concepts that have made the college game that we love a lot over on Saturdays exciting on Sundays is that we've seen a bridge of that style of play a little bit more to the NFL, right? And I never saw it really with Zach Wilson, that spark over at BYU. And, of course, that was back in 2020 where you didn't know really what you were going to get when you started looking at film of these guys. And yet now we know that it's just not going to be the fit. I want to hear from Jets fans how we're feeling right now. 888-SAY-ESPN is the phone number. We go to Virginia. Jordan, thanks for joining us here in Canty and Carlin. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. Merry Christmas. Both of my children are still disgusted in the backseat of my car right now after what they saw last night. So we'll start there. So it was rough. Zach Wilson struggling. He's been struggling. But I want to go back a few weeks to when we beat the Broncos and things were looking great. Breece Hall was a beast. 17 different positions on the O-line and crushed it at each one. And, you know, I think as a quarterback, if you have that in your back pocket and you have a little bit of help with the running game and with your O-line, you know, you're going to look a little bit better. I think Zach only lost one game in that span, or, you know, I think they won 3 or 4 games straight.
Right.
So, you know, you look at that and it's, you know, you feel good. And then once he loses those pieces, and especially that New England game where he's just throwing picks left and right, it's hard to bounce back from that, I feel like. And then, you know, especially in the division, and things just kept going downhill. So, yeah, the relationship's done, but I also want to point out that, you know, nobody's saying anything about Joe Douglas. This guy, I like him. He goes out and makes some crazy trades and, you know, get a decent pick for, what, a 6th-rounder, 7th-rounder. But, I mean, they totally flopped on Zach Wilson.
The question, and Jordan, thank you for the phone call. And again, that's kind of the question that Robert Saleh has to figure out with Joe with them in that front office as well, too, Drew, is like, all right, you got him underneath this rookie contract. You've already paid him this guaranteed contract to come and get it number 2. Is he worth to try to develop, to try to salvage it? Do you put him out here the remainder of the season if Mike White cannot go and can't find the 45th doctor that won't clear him with his ribs? Or do you say, you know what? Maybe it's best that we both just go in a different direction. We cut our losses and don't have the sunk cost fallacy.
Nice, sunk cost fallacy. Peter Burns, smart guy. That's an educated man right there. Nice economic term dropping in. And I appreciate the call from Jordan. I wish Jordan were more upset. We're looking for real anger. We're looking for real New York anger because that's what Jets fans should have today. They deserve better than what they got from Zach Wilson.
Give me an example. Give me an example. Like 98.7.
You ruined Christmas. Christmas is done. Thank you, Zach. You suck.
But that's not even anger. I mean, that's like at the 5th stage of grief right there. That's just acceptance. You know, that's just pure sadness. I'm glad you bring up Joe Douglas, though, Jordan, because, like, we did talk about him a little bit earlier in the show. I feel like Joe Douglas has done a fantastic job with the rest of the roster, and that's why he won't be fired because of the Zach Wilson debacle. I mean, that is a swing and a miss. If you look at biggest draft bust in NFL history, at least a year and change in, dude, PB is the number 2 pick, and they pass on three other quarterbacks who went in the top 15.
All right, but who did they pass on? They pass on Trey Lance, who
we still don't know.
We still don't know, and I'm leaning more towards not working out than working out at this point. Justin Fields, who has answered the bell. I don't think that's a very good Bears team, but he's fun to watch. You feel like you can build something around him. But, again, you're damned if you don't, because of Joe, you did put together a pretty good defense, right? I mean, it's
good offensive line, good skill positions. We talk about helping the quarterback. They did that. They invest at wide receiver with Wilson and Moore. They invest on the offensive line. They were playing great until Mekhi Becton, Elijah Vera Tucker get hurt. Breece Hall, I know drafting a running back early is not the trendy thing to do, but he was awesome for the majority of his rookie year until he got hurt. They've helped Zach Wilson out a lot, and at this point, it's pretty obvious that he's not the guy, and drafting him 2nd overall, I mean, that is like the cardinal sin of running a team, right, is missing on a quarterback that high.
Knoxville, Tennessee, we go. Sean, thanks for joining Peter Burns and Drew Carter here on Canty and Carlin. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great.
Good, good. Hey, listen, you know, I love Joe D, lifelong Jets fan, man, and there's certainly been a lot of dysfunction, and I think the guy has done a really, really good job, but, you know, absolutely, he missed this pick. I mean, with Darnold, listen, we didn't have the line. We didn't have the weapons. You didn't really know. He was kind of in that quarterback purgatory, right? You know, with Zach Wilson, we got all of it. I mean, it's pretty quick and easy to know. And as a Jets fan, man, look, it's tough to get the number one pick. It's rare. It's even more rare to have the number one pick with a generational talent like Trevor Lawrence. And I know what you guys are going to say. And trust me, I'm a competitor. I get it too. But, man, I mean, Joe D's in there. Adam Gase is a dead man walking. I wish they had done a quote-unquote roster evaluation to end that season. Locked up Trevor Lawrence. And then, boom, we hit on all these other picks, you know, outside of Mekhi Becton. And, man, we're sitting pretty right now.
That's interesting you say that because I forgot about that. Wasn't that one of the situations, what was it, 2 years ago, where the Jets, like, just stumbled into a win late into the year and people are like, what in the hell did you just do? In Jacksonville, season ticket office sellers were just like, holy hell. I can't. It was like when the Pelicans landed Zion. Like, they're going crazy. Like, again, stuff like that matters for generational talent. We talk about fit all the time. You also got to get lucky. It never felt like it was lucky with Trevor Lawrence. It felt like it was just the future that was coming out.
I'm looking back at the Jets schedule in 2020, and they won two of their last three. Week 15, week 16, go to L.A., beat the Rams, and then beat the Browns the next week. So two straight wins, and that's why they lost out on Trevor Lawrence. Look where we are today. I mean, the dichotomy between those two guys last night, like if you're a Jets fan, you have to be pulling your hair out. If you're Fireman Ed, you have to be taking your hat off and throwing it right into the grass at MetLife Stadium. And it's not just Trevor Lawrence, man. It's Justin Fields, who you could have drafted. And I think a lot of people who follow college football were saying, what are we doing? How is Justin Fields not the guy here? And it seems like that would have been the right pick.
A college quarterback that has made the transition awfully well is one Dak Prescott, but does he have enough to beat Minshew Mania? We'll discuss that breakdown coming up next. Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio.
Zach Wilson sucks. He ruined Christmas. Christmas is done. Thank you, Zach. You suck.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Did you miss Canty and Carlin?
Excited to get out there, you know. Unfortunate circumstance, obviously, you know. It's been great watching everything Jalen's been doing this year. I felt like we learned a lot from him. We got a lot of great dudes on this team. They've really done a good job of making me feel comfortable and, you know, getting me up to speed. And the coaches have done nothing but show confidence in me, and you know, it's my job to just go do what I can and help the team win.
That's the namesake of Minshew Mania, Gardner Minshew. Talk about how excited he is to take on the Dallas Cowboys coming up tomorrow. Kind of just a weird week, right? Doesn't think you know, you think Jalen Hurts, everybody's kind of circled that around on New Year's Eve about Eagles, Cowboys, Micah Parsons talking a little trash, and then of course Hurts gets injured in the game before. Even Gardner Minshew, a weird week for him. Drew, is, you know, earlier in the week he spoke at the late great Mike Leach's funeral over on Tuesday, and just really just an eloquent young character, right? And a guy that has earned a lot of respect. And I feel like the word respect is thrown around a lot, but we see how it plays into games. We saw how it plays into the Jets season so far with Zach Wilson. And I think this Eagles team, top to bottom, has a lot of respect for Jalen Hurts, but I also think they have a lot of respect for Gardner Minshew and the success and kind of the skins of the wall he has right now.
Right. I mean, Gardner Minshew, best backup quarterback in the NFL? Probably. I think a lot of people would say that. I think he could start for a lot of NFL teams. I think a lot of Jets fans would say if we had Gardner Minshew right now, we'd be a lot better off. Like, if Gardner Minshew started for the Jets for the entire season, I think they'd probably have two or three more wins, right? I mean, like, Gardner Minshew is good. When he was playing as a rookie for the Jags, he was average in the NFL in a lot of statistics, and I feel like for a guy who was a sixth-round pick going to Jacksonville who had no expectations, he had a long, winding road in college playing at three schools before it was cool, Gardner Minshew, like, he is a guy who, you're right, PB, commands respect. The only thing I don't like about playing the soundbite on the radio is it's better on TV because you get to see Gardner Minshew and the
lovely
mustache and the locks and the salad. And I love Gardner Minshew, man. I'm a huge fan. With all that being said, I think the Cowboys beat him pretty good this week.
Really?
Games
in all
Dallas.
Right, so
I mean,
you have been, because everybody wants to poo-poo the Dallas. Everyone says, okay, this is just like the Dallas Cowboys when they had Tony Romo and Dak can't get him over there and Zeke Elliott. Mm-hmm. And in fact, before you get into that, I want to hear from Ezekiel Elliott because he talked a little bit about the season expectations on his presser this week. Here's Zeke.
Love making the playoffs, but I'm looking to make a run. I made the playoffs before. I want to make a run. I mean, you can make the playoffs and we've seen it losing the first round. No, that does not taste good. Don't feel good. It's almost worse than not even going to the playoffs. So I mean, just trying to do whatever we can to get better. The team that this week is, you know, doing what we need to do to get ready to beat Philly, and then just building on that and making sure we're ready to put our best foot forward when playoffs come.
Now, Drew, you say that it's not just this week that the Cowboys beat the Eagles. You think, and you're with Zeke, that there's something deeper with this team?
I think so. I think they can win the Super Bowl. And in fact, right now,
repeat that one more time.
I think they can win the Super Bowl. The Dallas Cowboys. You heard me. I'm not just saying this to be hot take, radio, get a reaction, get some callers. Dr. Pepper call in line, by the way, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm not just saying that to be hot take radio guy. I really believe that. You look at the advanced metrics with Dallas. They have a top three defense in the NFL, pretty much no matter how you slice it. No. Offensively, Dak missed a few games earlier in the year. They're 15th in DVOA, the Football Outsiders metric, which doesn't really look at wins and losses. It's more about margin of victory and overall efficiency on offense and defense. They're 15th in offense, but in terms of raw scoring, I think they lead the league in points per game. They're at least top three. Ever since Dak came back, they've been scoring a lot of points. I think people are out on the Cowboys because of the last 2 weeks where they beat the Texans in a game they should have won by more. I get it. But the Texans kind of hang. The Texans hang with a lot of teams. Like, Houston does not get blown out that often. The previous week, they beat the Colts in one of the most embarrassing games for a franchise all season, 54-19. And then they lose at Jacksonville in overtime, and, like, we're all in agreement right now that the Jags are pretty good at the moment. They've won three games in a row, and they should win their division. I feel like to jump ship on the Cowboys because of the last 2 weeks is just a little premature, and I really like the makeup of this team with Zeke and Tony Pollard, Gallup getting healthy. I believe in Dak. I, as crazy as a lot of people think that is, I still believe in Dak. Look at their playoff losses. They've been pretty tight. Like, last year, is it a bad look to let the clock run out on you at home? Yes. But they were still close against a really good 49ers team. And you look at the NFC, last thing I'll say, Peter. Yes, the Eagles have been a wagon the entire season. But, dude, we haven't really seen it from Jalen Hurts in the playoffs. I know he's young. I know he's different this year. But, like, they haven't proven anything more with this roster than the Cowboys have.
But the reason why, and listen, I know it's easy for us to talk quarterbacks, and it's easy to talk about Jalen Hurts, who's right there neck and neck, depending on how injured he is with Patrick Mahomes as far as NFL MVP. But it's more of what this defense is doing, right? And that's why this week is so big for Dak. I mean, this is the Eagles' defense right now. Give it up less than 200 yards a game. Number one pass defense in the country, or in the league right now. 15 interceptions. They get after the quarterback. And so for me, this is I'm not willing to do it because I don't think that Dak can have that type of game that makes me that much of a believer that he can get over that hump. But more so, can you imagine? You think that's going to go through Philly. That's yeah. And there are true home field advantages, and there are some that, like, you're playing a home game. Philly is a home field advantage.
Yeah.
Make no when Meek Mill and Dreams and Nightmares is pumping before that game, you know that's one of the toughest places to play, and styles make fights. And I just think that this is a bad fight over and over again for the Dallas Cowboys because I don't trust Dak to not make a mistake. And I know the two interceptions last week were more of a drop pass and really the offensive line letting him down a little bit more, but still I haven't seen that game. I'm waiting for that game from Dak, but I just haven't seen it yet.
Who in the NFC, though, has shown you that game in the playoffs?
It's a fair point.
Like, I love Hurts.
Jalen.
And Hurts is different this year 100%, mm-hmm. and they're the favorites, and rightfully so. But Brock Purdy? That's a great roster, but Brock Purdy? I mean, I like Brock Purdy, but are we sure? Like, I think the door is open for Dallas, and really, the reason we're making this pick, if we do, like, say that Dallas has a chance to win the Super Bowl, is we're saying the defense will carry them, Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard will carry them, and Dak doesn't have to light the world on fire. This is not like a Packers led to the Super Bowl by Aaron Rodgers situation. This is a great roster where Dak just has to not make mistakes, and I know he's done that in the past, and he's not playing really well right now, but I still believe in Dak. He's a guy who's dealt with injuries this season. By the time they get to the playoffs, I'd want to put my money on Dallas.
Can't wait to see. I mean, what the Eagles did with that offensive or defensive front as well, too. How about this? This Eagles defense recorded 6-plus sacks in 3 consecutive games, the second longest streak since 1963. Going to be
Yikes.
All up on the Cowboys' offensive line to protect Mr. Prescott in that game. He is Drew Carter. I am Peter Burns. Coming up, a rumor that turned into the fact. We'll discuss that coming up next. Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Did you miss Canty and Carlin?
Happy holidays, Merry Christmas from our ESPN Radio crew. It's Peter Burns and Drew Carter in for Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, always presented by Progressive Insurance. Want to give us a call? You can. 888-SAY-ESPN, as I'm sure you are driving around just frantically trying to find one or two extra gifts or a bunch of different gifts, and probably a parking spot as well, too. It was brutal around the Burns household here in Charlotte, like trying to find one spot to go to. Out of control.
Right.
Out of control.
Hey, and if you're driving around listening, just say, "Hey Siri, call ESPN Radio." Don't take your hands off the wheel because it's probably snowing where you are. It's probably cold and unsafe.
It's all about safety first, right?
It's hands free.
It's about going and making sure at some point you follow the rules, which it couldn't be any worse for the Jets, Jets than losing last night the way they did, right? 19-3. I joked around about how maybe it was some good news because now you know the future is not Zach Wilson. And maybe the future is not their wide receiver coach, Miles Austin. Rich Cimini and Adam Schefter just tweeting this moments ago, quote from Schefter, "The NFL confirmed today that New York Jets wide receiver coach Miles Austin," yes, that Miles Austin, former Dallas Cowboys wide receiver, "has been suspended for violating the NFL's gambling policy." Now, Miles Austin is appealing that suspension. The league will have no further comment until that appeal has been resolved. I don't know how this would not be a pretty open and shut case. Like, if it gets it to this point, Like, do you say someone else logged into my account? Or I don't know. I don't know how this works. But there's one thing that you don't do around the NFL is mess with their money. Like, you can mess with other people. And literally, we've seen that. Guys get suspected or convicted of things, right? And it's like, all right, well, they'll pay their penance. They'll be back. But if you mess with the NFL's money, they will hold you accountable. There's no doubt about it, Drew. And it's become a cardinal sin. But one, it's a fine line that the NFL kind of tiptoes around with how much gambling is a part of their product now.
It's so true. And something about the wide receivers, right? Because the biggest suspension for gambling, at least in recent history for the NFL, is Calvin Ridley of the Atlanta Falcons, who, you know, we all forget is a pretty good receiver. We haven't seen him at all this year. Hope to see him back on the field next year. But you're right, PB, because it's interesting, and this is what the leagues have always been worried about when it comes to embracing gambling. It's not just the leagues, it's the networks who are airing the games. You don't want to talk about gambling for fear that promoting it too much would lead to potential game fixing and other nefarious activity, which is why stuff like this is against the rules, and we'll see what happens ultimately with Miles Austin. But it is interesting, you know, to see this compared with, I'm watching, you know, NFL Red Zone, and maybe that's a bad example because Scott Hansen doesn't really talk about gambling, but I'm watching, you know, other networks, and it's like, I like the Cowboys -3.5 this week.
Including
it's like
this one, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm laying the points. I'm doing this. And again,
yeah.
Gambling, I mean, gambling has been around. It was in a different way of fantasy football. And you could easily say why the NFL is such a behemoth the way it is because you can have a Drew Carter sitting in Minnesota be in his fantasy football finals this week and look at, you care about a guy on the Browns roster. You're caring about what Tua's going to be able to do. Should you start Aaron Rodgers in a monster game? And that was gambling just in a different form. And as the NFL continues to increase the amount of money that they make, both in television and their sponsorships, there was no doubt college programs are getting involved in this right now. But there's one thing that you cannot do is mess with the league's money or mess with the league's quote-unquote integrity of the game. That's what they will protect more so than they will protect players, than they'll protect spouses, they will protect other people. They kind of care about that because it's an image. But if the image is that you got coaches gambling on games, that is destructive because then all of a sudden maybe that gambling money goes away and then the trust factor that the games are on the up and up go away.
Right, and it's not just the NFL. I mean, it's every major sport. We've seen it with Major League Baseball and Pete Rose. You can't do it. It's, like you said, one of the cardinal sins. And I think the gambling discourse has made sports more fun to follow in general. But I do kind of miss the days where we didn't know who was favored and by how much. And, like, we talk about the Minnesota Vikings, for example, this year. And every week, the Vikings are 10-3 or 11-3 or what have you and favored by, like, 3 points against the Colts, who are terrible. And you're like, huh, what's up with that line? That's kind of a fishy line, and it's fun to talk about. But I sort of miss the days where we had no idea.
I mean, listen, I'm all in for it, if for no other reason, because that is the talking point, right?
Totally.
That is the idea of going, wait a minute, why do we not believe that to be the case? I mean, hell,
right. We
even talked about it. You had Nick Saban talking about him in the college football playoff discussions. Like, well, I think we would be favored by any means. I don't think Nick Saban has a bookie. I don't think Nick Saban's going on to, you know, FanDuel and putting together a lineup for this weekend.
Right.
But it is something that a younger generation is dealing with right now. And it's kind of fantasy football on steroids. And I know for me, it's made it a whole lot more interesting. In fact, if you're not dialed in so much to the NFL on a week-to-week level, you're able to take a look at the gambling lines and say, you know what? Man, the Texans are a 14-point dog. I didn't know that they were that bad versus what their record actually was. And I think there's information you can glean off of that. Just like people learn how to play or watch football playing Madden on Xbox or PlayStation back in the day.
Right. And what's interesting, too, is you talk about fantasy football. There are a couple NFL players, most of them say they hate fantasy football and they don't care about your team. Don't tweet at me. Some guys are open about the fact that they play, right? Like Austin Eckler plays, I think, and talks about how he drafts himself and talks about fantasy, and it's a breath of fresh air because he says, hey, for my fantasy owners, like, I'm going to try to score a couple touchdowns for you this week. I'm pretty sure Austin Eckler drafted himself in the first round this year. Hopefully he doesn't have any money. Hopefully there's no buy-in to get in that league because it sounds like you can get in trouble for that.
again, the league will put its foot down on anything that they're really, truly worried about, and that's one thing that we've also learned so far between Calvin Ridley and now Miles Austin, the news coming out of Jets wide receiver coach, who, by the way, did not coach in the game last night. People were wondering why he was not on the sidelines. There is your answer. Still waiting for
Jacksonville.
That'd be amazing, right? I saw a large deposit. Yeah, well, listen, we knew Zach was coming in, and we knew Joe Flacco was not going to play any. So
they weren't running any routes. It was weird.
I hammered the Jags at that point. All right, speaking of money, one-star college quarterback denies being offered boatloads of money to leave his school. Are you buying it? Canty and Carlo on ESPN Radio with Peter Burns and Drew Carter moves on.
Did you miss Canty and Carlin?
Here's Drew Carter on Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, always presented by Progressive Insurance. Following this developing story right now, Adam Schefter and Rich Cimini had just tweeted just moments ago. We were discussing it. The NFL has suspended Jets receivers coach Miles Austin, yes, the former Dallas Cowboy wide receiver, for violating the league's gambling policy. It is of a year. Now, of course, Miles Austin is going to be appealing that. Now, the nugget that just came out during the commercial break that Schefter is reporting, and so are others, saying there is no indication that Austin bet on NFL games as a coach, but bet on other sports, which still violates the NFL personnel gambling policy. So just, again, could have been World Cup, could have been whatever. I'm always fascinated about this, about Drew, how they knew Miles Austin was betting on anything. Right, they can. If the reports are coming out, they clearly have the information that it wasn't football. Does he plead, hey man, I didn't know that it could not be other sports?
Maybe what happened, PB, is he was using one of the six official sports books of the NFL to gamble, and maybe his username was like Miles Austin 11 or something, and they're like, hey now, that's actually against the rules. Great tweet here from Alec. Coverage of Miles Austin's suspension for gambling next on NFL Network, brought to you by FanDuel, the official sportsbook of the NFL. I mean, it is kind of crazy to see stuff like that with a league that is in bed with these gambling sites. Mm-hmm. But I think during the break you made a good point about why you can't gamble on other sports even if you're in football.
Yeah, I think the reason why is because now you look at it. It's the same thing with college sports, right? They're worried about name, image, and likeness. They're worried about gambling as well, too, because they feel if all of a sudden you got a guy that's gambling on a bunch of games, not necessarily is he, you know, what they're worried about is all of a sudden, let's say that you get into the hole and you're $500,000 down, and all of a sudden, are you making decisions because you lost $500,000 betting on the Lakers that Anthony Davis is going to come back healthy and that they were going to make a run and that, you know,
that
you're struggling, right? You know, or whatever the game may be, they look at this and go, could you be compromised at any point? And, you know, that's one of the reasons why the league is so heavy-handed on that. And, of course, Miles Austin right now, he is kind of blue. He is thinking about he will appeal that, and the NFL says they'll have no further comment. Again, what we're trying to figure out is fact or fiction. Okay, we'll find more about the Miles Austin situation. We're trying to find out more about fact or fiction with what Mac Brown was talking about with Drake May. If you don't know the name, Drake May, star quarterback for the Tar Heels. Here's what Mac Brown had to say earlier this week in a presser.
Drake got offered a lot of money to go to different schools, and it's tampering. It's 100% tampering, but he got offered money. He decided to stay. I can't say that, and don't ask Drake. He's a young guy, and that's uncomfortable for him. You know who they are. Just look at all the ones that are getting the top recruits. They're the ones paying all the top money, so just you can figure that out. Take two of those 10, and you're right. You got it.
All right. I'm not going to give you names, but I'm going to give you that general vicinity and the area code in which those guys are. Now, Pete Thamel did not heed Mac Brown's advice. Pete Thamel did ask Drake May, hey, like, what's up? People are offering that money. And a story that just dropped on ESPN.com, Drake May told Pete Thamel, quote, those rumors weren't really reality. Pitt's coach, Pat Narduzzi, had also said it was $5 million to transfer, ended up putting it out there. Quote, I don't know what that was all about. You have to enter the transfer portal to talk to these schools and hear these offers. For me, I think college football is going to turn into a mess. They're going to have to do something. There was nothing to me or my family directly offered from any of these schools. Nothing was said or offered to the Mazes. Thoughts on that, Drew?
Well, let's go back to one of those sentences in there. Quote, you have to enter the transfer portal to talk to these schools and hear these offers, unquote. Are we sure? Because it sounds like you don't. Tampering is the big T word in college football right now. And according to Mac Brown, that was happening with his star quarterback. Drake May had an amazing season this year. For those who don't know, he was second in the country in total offense per game. Came out of nowhere. He's a freshman. No one even knew if he was going to be their starter until a couple weeks before the season. And then until the last few weeks of the season, he was a Heisman contender, and most people expected him to go to New York. They kind of had the wheels fall off down the stretch. But he had an amazing season. Drake May also, if you recognize the name as it pertains to Carolina sports, his older brother Luke May, right, a legend, hit a late game-winning shot in the NCAA tournament to help Carolina win a championship. Also, their dad, Mark May, was the starting quarterback for Carolina in the 80s. So if there's anyone you probably shouldn't be wasting your time and potentially your money on, I think it's Drake May, who bleeds Carolina blue like nobody else and probably doesn't want to leave. And by the way, I think UNC's NIL fund is doing okay. They've got a lot of alumni, a lot of wealthy alumni who really like sports. They probably have some pretty deep pockets when it comes to NIL. But I also think Drake May isn't the guy you want to target who would leave Carolina just for a big sack of money. The bigger story, of course, PB, is about college sports in general and, you know, the best players. Even at a school like Carolina, dude, we're talking about an ACC school that was in the conference championship, and bigger schools are still trying to raid their roster.
The question is on whether or not when all these coaches come out there too, Drew, is the fact of you can only kind of cry wolf so many times. If you got receipts, what are they?
Dude,
until then,
ahead.
I really don't want to see them. Like, then, like, you just tell me who the coaches are. This would nip it in the bud. And even if it's not the coaches, because allegedly it's not the coaches, it's the collectives. Just say XYZ school and their collective went after X player. That's how the NCAA is going to get involved. But the innuendo is just going to look at a bunch of complaining, and people are going to look at it going, wait a minute, the kids right now, you're complaining about them, but what about the agents that are trying to get you a new job? What about the coordinators that are trying to get new jobs right now? I don't necessarily buy that a whole heck of a lot. All right, we'll talk a little bit more NFL, more of this developing Miles Austin and the Jets story, and more about a star-studded Christmas Day in the NBA. Drew Carter, Peter Burns, is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio.
Canty and Carlin, weekdays on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.